Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. From street thug to international heroin smuggler to murder to prison inmate to vengeance to redemption, it's about a life of true crime and coming of age. It's the award-winning novel Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection by James E. McCarthy, based on a true story. One review saying it reads like a memoir, has action and excitement like a thriller, and educates the reader along the way. James is a retired self-employed private investigator and tax practitioner born and raised in Orlando. He volunteered for the U.S. Army during the Vietnam era, sent to Germany to serve as tour of duty. Several college degrees, including a B.A. in clinical psychology. James worked for most of the major law firms in Central Florida as a self-employed private investigator and special process server. He opened his own tax practitioner service as a tax preparer and consultant, now retired while maintaining his PI license. Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection, the debut novel of James E. McCarthy, our guest on today's This Week in America. James, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent job on the novel. It has all of the elements. It has everything in the course of the book. And let's start off with the fact that it is a true story and a story that you know quite well, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Rick. I've dedicated my whole life to writing this story, and I chronicle it right out. I spent my whole life writing this story, and I patterned it after every phase of my life.
The book is Sin and Redemption. Our guest is James E. McCarthy. Let's go. This starts off with a lot of action right at the beginning. Orlando, 1967. A gentleman is behind on his gambling debts. That's where it starts. The gentleman is Joe Stegna. Let's explain some of the major characters. Who is Joe Stegna?
Yes, Rick, Joe Stegna is my father, and he was a strict disciplinarian, and he was very, very religious. Joe raised us as Seventh-day Adventists. However, Joe wasn't quite the Seventh-day Adventist that most Seventh-day Adventists usually portray. Joe had a secret life of gambling.
And that's brought out with such clarity in the book, Sin and Redemption. Leo Stegna is Joe's son, and again, this hits close to home for you. Explain who Leo is and what Leo's life is like at the time.
Leo is the primary character. Leo is portraying myself in the book, and Leo's life at the time was living with his mother and father and his siblings, and they were raised in a very strict disciplinary type, Seventh-day Adventist type environment, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, while everyone else was outside going to clubs, football games, playing sports. They were confined to home, reading the Bible, and getting ready for church on Saturdays.
Talk about Leo involved with a street gang there, auto theft ring. Talk about the crime element in Leo's life at that particular point in his time, in his life.
It was after the contract killing of his father over a gambling debt by a local mobster. That seems to cause Leo to spiral out of control, and out of a sense of depression, Leo went and joined the local auto theft gang and became and started living the thug life, stealing high-end cars.
And he does this. The book we're talking about, by the way, Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection, an award-winning book by James E. McCarthy, our guest on the program. His website is jamesemccarthy.com. Book's available, of course, there. It's available at Amazon. You can link on directly to get information and order James' book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. There's something that happens in Leo's life where he realizes he needs to make a transformation at this point in his life. Talk about that. There was this moment of awakening when he realized this really isn't the life that he wants to lead.
Yes, it was after the death of Leo's best friend. Ted Morgan. Ted Morgan was in a high-speed chase. He had stolen a Mustang Shelby Cobra, got into a high-speed chase with local police. They were on I-4, and Ted went into an S-curve and plunged like six stories to his death into the murky waters below, where the car exploded on impact. That was Leo's wake-up call, because the police also had hauled Leo into jail and interrogated him, trying to get information as to who else was involved in the auto theft gang. However, Leo refused to talk, and through a family friend, they offered Leo a way out by giving him a choice to either work at the Kennedy Space Center or join the military.
And took the job at the Space Center. Talk about that, because this would seem like something that would be an escape, getting away from this life. This brought about more anxiety, didn't it?
It did, because once Leo joined the Space Center and became a mail courier, he had an awesome responsibility of shuttling weather reports from Patrick's Air Force Base to the Space Center. But on this, there was this one unfortunate incident where the Apollo crew was training they were doing a simulated training launch, and it was a three-man Apollo crew. Leo was responsible for getting the weather reports to the Space Center in a timely manner. However, he lost control of the space shuttle vehicle due to a flat tire, which delayed the launch. As a result of that, the launch was delayed. Leo was eventually found by KFC patrol and assisted him in repairing the flat, and they raced ungodly speeds to try to get to the Space Center. They finally got there, and then once the countdown resumed, of course, the craft exploded in a fiery inferno, causing the three astronauts to perish.
And this was something Leo really carried with him, isn't it?
It did. It sent Leo into another deep state of depression, and as a result, he decided to volunteer for the U.S. Army out of two reasons. To overcome the death of the astronauts, which he fought it himself for, as well as to try to extract revenge for his father's death on the contract killer that killed his father.
James E. McCarthy, our guest on This Week in America. The book is called Sin and Redemption. He joins the Army, volunteers to join the Army. He befriends a platoon sergeant, and things go off the rails rather quickly at that point. Talk about that situation, the platoon sergeant, and what the platoon sergeant, he was more than just a platoon sergeant, wasn't he?
He was. Leo was sent to Leo volunteered for the Army. He wanted to go to Vietnam so he could be trained on expert weaponry. Instead, they sent him to Germany. He meets his platoon sergeant, who he idolized. And once he got in under the platoon sergeant's control, little did he find out that the platoon sergeant was a major international heroin distributor.
And that brings us to the title of the book. I want to ask about that. The title of the book is Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection. Talk about the pink elephant connection, why that's important.
Pink elephant represents the mighty strength of the world's most potent heroin, which is pink heroin. It comes 98% pure, and it could be cut 19 times. It represents the trademark of the China Mafia. They use it as a seal on every kilo of pure heroin that they export.
Sin and Redemption is the name of the book, The Pink Elephant Connection. We're now talking about what happens after joining the Army. And he gets involved in this international drug smuggling group. Talk about that. He gets out of the Army, and they still have him as part of that, don't they? I mean, you couldn't get away from it.
Uh, First, I'd like to apologize to my audience. I get choked up every time I try to talk about this. It's not an easy subject to talk about.
No, and we understand that because this is your life going back over and talking about this and all that you went through at these phases. The good part, the redemption part, will come about in a couple of minutes as we're talking through this. But setting up exactly where you were, I mean, you're really captured back in this. You try to get out. You come back to the U.S., and because you can travel freely, but you've got a passport, they want to use you.
That is correct. So given in the peer pressure, they talked me into coming once I got out of service, they talked me into coming back to Europe. And from there, I joined the platoon sergeant, and we went to Amsterdam, Holland, where he introduced me to Rocky Kongolie Pew, China Mafia connection with the China Mafia, senior controller with the China Mafia.
All of this, you're working with them, and then suddenly February of 1973, headlines in the paper down there, man busted. Talk about that, because that really, this time it put an end to that part of your life, but changed it forever, didn't it?
It did. We had gone to Amsterdam, we had gone to Thailand, we had gone to Rotterdam, we had smuggled by train, by boat, by car, by air, and in this final mission, I had agreed to help Rocky and Benjamin Stryker, my platoon sergeant, to establish a loose-knit heroin outlet into the United States. In particular, Florida. And on this particular mission, little did we know that the heroin courier that Rocky was sending to me was a confidential informer working with the DEA. So once I got to the airport to meet the courier, the DEA, the FBI, the local police, they were all waiting for me. They were disguised as gift shop salesmen, ticket agents, porters, and they busted me and threw me down.
And when you're in jail, so often you hear people that decide when they're in jail. They'll say about anything. It's like, I want to get out. I want to turn my life around. For you, those were not just words, were they? That's what you really wanted to do. Talk about taking the plea, what they offered you, and what you did with that time in prison that really forwarded your life in a dramatic fashion.
Once those jail cells closed behind me, that was my wake-up call. I was there. I realized I had 9 years. I had been facing 45 years. And I pleaded guilty to a lesser charge, which possession with intent to distribute. But I still had to serve a third of my time, and a third of 9 years was 3 years. That was a real wake-up call for me. And I had been advised and told by my caseworker that I would not even see the parole board until I did at least 3 years. And with all that time on hand, I saw an opportunity to go to school. So I enrolled in college at Tallahassee Community College in Tallahassee while incarcerated.
Talk about that experience, because it really turned your life around and got the attention of the parole board, didn't it? Because you were able to get out and continue that way forward.
It did. I was successfully able to complete my college degree while incarcerated. And then when I went up before the federal parole board, they were so impressed with my progress that they decided to parole me. They gave me that second chance that I was looking for. But my parole plans were to continue my education, which I did. I enrolled in college at the University of Central Florida here in Orlando and graduated with a degree in clinical psychology. Once I received that degree in clinical psychology, my parole officer and the parole board was so impressed with the fact that I graduated again with the BA degree this time that they agreed to restore my civil rights, giving me the right to vote. So once I received that, they recommended me for a state pardon. I went before Governor Bob Graham, and they met for the first time outside of Tallahassee, this time in Tampa. Went before Governor Bob Graham in the entire Florida cabinet, and they were so impressed with my presentation and with my progress of rehabilitation that they gave me a full state pardon, which also granted me the right to possess a firearm. And once I accomplished that, the Attorney General for the state of Florida was so impressed with my progress that he in turn assisted me and he asked, what did I want to be? And I told him that my true aspiration was to become a lawyer. And if not a lawyer, then a lawyer's investigator. And he indicated at that time that in order for that to happen, I had to become a licensed private investigator. And I expressed an interest in becoming a licensed private investigator. And with the help of the Attorney General Jim Smith of the state of Florida, he assisted me in achieving that.
And you can see all of the documents in the book. The book is full of action, intrigue. It's a great read. One review called it an instant classic. Towards the back of the book, you'll see all of the documents, all of the different phases that James was going through. And think about this for a second. After all you've been going through, the drug bust, you're in prison, you get the college degrees, you not only come out and get a pardon, but you're a private investigator. Working, yes. Basically assisting law enforcement, and you're carrying a gun. Talk about a complete turnaround, a transformation. You're the perfect example of that.
True. And not only that, the Chief Judge Belvin Perry, who was a close personal friend of mine, we were high school friends, and we lived across the street from one another. He was so impressed with my progress. He assisted me in becoming a civil/criminal process server, working with and serving all the criminal and civil subpoenas with the very sheriff's department that arrested me at the airport.
Amazing.
So I became a process server for the Orange County Sheriff's Department, for the Osceola County Sheriff's Department, for the Seminole County Court, as well as the Polk County Court. So the very entities that contribute to sending me to prison, they ended up reaching out to me and helping me turn my life around and putting me on that righteous path of total rehabilitation. And I truly thank them for it.
And people would say, well, I guess the redemption is complete. There's one part of that that you really won, and you've had some disappointment, and you still are hopeful for that. Talk about the presidential pardon process and where you stand with that.
Yes, unfortunately, I've been through three presidential administrations. I've been through the Bush administration, I've been through the Obama administration, and now the Trump administration. With the Bush administration, when I first applied for the presidential pardon, they said that they didn't know enough about the pardon experience to render a decision. So they passed it on to the Obama administration. When the Obama administration reviewed the application process, they said that they didn't have enough information. So when Obama left office, they passed it on to the Trump administration. The Trump administration, I just heard from them April 18th of 2018 of this year. And they, of course, denied the presidential pardon. Because despite all of my rehabilitation and all of my success, President Trump still holds out the idea of executing drug offenders. He has a very strong, profile against that.
What happens now with the presidential pardon? Can you go back, or do you need to wait for a new administration?
Per President Trump's letter, that I can wait to a new administration and reapply again. But I chose to reach out to the American people at this time. If I can reach out to the American public, and ask the American public to please forgive me, that I'm not perfect, no one is. Drugs is affecting our lives every day. It's affecting the lives of every American every day. I'm asking for a people's pardon.
James E. McCarthy, our guest on the program, talking about his book, Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection. You can connect with James at his website, jamesemccarthy.com. Book information, of course, is available there as well as at Amazon. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know how difficult it is for you to talk and go back over all of this. So many people have said you would be commended for doing this because it's hope for people out there. I'm sure you feel good that you're probably touching people reading the book that are going through difficult times in their lives that go like, wow, if James can go through this, turned his life around, and now he's basically working side by side, has worked side by side with law enforcement, maybe there's hope for me as well. This has to be encouraging to be able to touch other people that way.
Yes, right now I consider myself as the real deal. There is no phoniness in my game. I am totally sincere, and I wrote this book that if I can help just one, if my story can just help just one, then my job is done. But I like to help as many troubled youths as well as troubled adults alike and let them know that they can turn their life around. They can make that change. And in America, America is the greatest country in the world. And you will have a second and a third chance to be anything you aspire to be. All you have to do is just try.
And as you read the book, you will see, again, using the documents there, reading the documents that the state says to James, we forgive you. Tremendous job turning your life around. We have forgiven you. And that's powerful. It's a great story, action, intrigue, but it's a rare, honest crime story that also manages to be deeply honest as well. The book is Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection. James E. McCarthy, our guest on the program. His website is jamesemccarthy.com. Book, of course, available at Amazon. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. James, again, I know this has been difficult for you. I really appreciate you coming on the air, sharing the story, and hopefully touching other people along the way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. It wasn't an easy story to talk about. I didn't even begin to do the book justice. There's a lot of good stuff in the book. America, please check it out.
You will need to do that. It's Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection. It is a great story. The sin part, the redemption, two separate parts. It's a story that will bring you in. It's difficult to put down once you start reading. And then when you see how this transformation takes place later in James' life, the college degrees, working with law enforcement, what he's gone through, where he is today, it's just an amazing story. It's an excellent read. Sin and Redemption, The Pink Elephant Connection. James E. McCarthy, our guest. His website, jamesemccarthy.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.